Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
If you came for food takes, you are at the right place. So many food takes here, and also so much going on in the world of sports. The Ravens delivered on a must-win game in the National Football League, but I actually want to start in the college ranks. Chinee and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chinee Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. holding it down for you. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lines. Now, we will talk college hoops, basketball, and the comments that Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski of Duke said that had us stop in our tracks. But let's start with college football, Junior, and especially the Big Ten, because that's where the news come from. We just heard on the SportsCenter update with Doug Brown that the Big Ten officially changed its policy that teams must play 6 games to be eligible for the conference championship game, meaning Ohio State will face Northwestern. Yes, and I remember seeing a quote by the committee. The decision was based on a competitive analysis which determined that Ohio State would have advanced to the Big Ten football championship game based on its undefeated record and head-to-head victories over Indiana, regardless of a win or loss situation, which means, hey, in this situation, if this was going to happen anyways, it's time for us to just make those rules bendable. And I feel like overall, Junior, this has been a real roller coaster in the Big Ten. What has this all meant? What is the message here? What have we learned from this situation, the tumultuous nature that we've witnessed getting the Ohio State team to be able to compete?
That if you create expectations, you create unnecessary problems, Chinee. I said you've seen it in every romantic comedy. Where does Dad get in trouble? When he promises Johnny that he's going to come pick him up from school, that he's going to be at his piano recital, but then he's got to stay late working at the office, working on the big case, and he gets over and he's got a mad wife and a kid that's in bed ticked off at him there. Whereas if you just are upfront about the situation, we very rarely have problems here. But the Big Ten came out, made an arbitrary rule, and thankfully had the wherewithal in this situation to say, you know what common sense says? This team was one game away from meeting our arbitrary qualification. It is an arbitrary qualification that we can do away with just as easily as we made it. And most importantly, they had that on-field head-to-head win against the Indiana team that they were going to supplant there. One game short with a head-to-head on-field showcase of this is what we are, this is on our resume, that I think makes this a lot easier to stomach unless you are a team that's afraid of getting beat.
But what does this message show, though, Junior? Because clearly, I think the message has been bungled from the beginning, and now we're in a position where the team actually has shown through the eye test, which the College Football Playoff Committee, and I saw you, by the way, I put some comments in your ranking show yesterday, but you didn't even say anything. I don't think you guys can see me there. But, you know, it's funny because the committee has been relying on the eye test this year, and I feel like that's just normal. But I guess here in this situation, the Big Ten was a little bit overzealous in, oh, we're going to come through with all this information and all these rules to make sure that this is the best way for us to determine a winner, where in this landscape, that's the last way you sort of want to approach things. You want to actually be more fluid. You want more flexibility. So for those teams that see themselves being removed because of this rule change, how should they feel?
Chinee, I think everyone's allowed, this is kind of like the therapist in me saying this, but everyone's feelings are valid in 2020 in this situation. They are yours, they belong to you, and for that reason, they mean something to me and to everyone else. But the bottom line is, fair is a place where they judge pigs, right? Like, that's not what you come to college football for. If anyone in the Big Ten is upset, they should be upset at the way that leadership has handled this, not what they've done necessarily, but how they've gone about all this. Because I'll say till I'm blue in the face, the Big Ten not wanting to play football in the middle of a pandemic the way they originally didn't, to me, isn't that big of a wrong in this situation. Like, we've seen along the way, this has been a tough go in a lot of stretches for college football to try and get through this. But it's the how, it's the lack of communication. So at the very least, in this spot now, they have been upfront and they have communicated very clearly what's happened here in the last few days right now. So this is a it's never too late to do the right thing kind of moment for the Big Ten in a situation that, quite frankly, if you're an angry fan, direct your ire at the College Football Playoff Committee that week after week has looked at this Ohio State team and said, nah, fourth best team in the country. What we've seen, fourth best team in the country. That is why the Big Ten felt moved to do this, because the 13-person panel of College Football Playoff Committee members decided they thought that was one of the playoff teams where it sits right now.
Do you think that changes, though? Because I understand the four, you know, it's funny. We had like 3 to see in the basketball ranks. But when you have 4, obviously it's sacred territory. But I feel like if they were 5th or 6th, it'd still warrant the same thing if I'm a conference.
Absolutely. It requires you to look at this situation. As you talked about, Janet, I asked you about this and was upfront about this, like the greater good idea of conferences here, focusing on what's best for the whole, because I'm used to, as a Notre Dame alum, operating in the best interest of the one as an independent in this situation. And so you can see, I mean, we heard from Gary Barta, who is on the College Football Playoff Committee, who is the athletic director at Iowa right now, who is involved in this situation. We heard from Barry Alvarez, the athletic director at Wisconsin. We heard from Michigan's athletic director, like their bitter rival who just had to cancel their game, out here saying, yeah, we probably need to look at this situation. But it poses something interesting going forward. Peter Burns was on earlier with us, SEC Network host and host of the Best Week Ever Sunday mornings here on ESPN Radio. Talked about the Big Ten and what they've managed to do this year, more with less.
The Big Ten pinned themselves into bad decision upon bad decision upon bad optics. And again, I think where it doesn't sit right with so many people is the fact of fans outside of the Big Ten go, well, wasn't this the conference that tried to shut down all of college football? I mean, wasn't this the conference that was on the phone and talking to the ACC and SEC and Big 12 going, hey, listen, we're shutting this thing down. We know the Pac-12 is going to follow us, but hey, we're going to do this. We expect y'all to do the same thing. And the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 said, no, we feel comfortable that we can play a season. And now, all of a sudden, in a weird way, the Big 10 not only kind of mitigated their risk of as far as playing a full schedule and having one of their teams be upset, but now they're going to be possibly rewarded by it by a late change in the season.
Janae, that's the one part of this I disagree with Peter, is there was plenty of risk, so much risk that the Big Ten had to evaluate this policy they made up and do away with it because they were worried about what might happen, this team's viability and this conference's viability going forward. The conceit that we all made at the start of this season was very few things were going to look uniform or the same, and so these are problems that we should have foreseen.
One of the things that I love about you, Junior, is that you're also a college football analyst here at ESPN. And I missed the last week or so. You weren't able to call a game, probably based on scheduling and all that shindig. But ooh. I want to get, normally we have the rock star music, and you just, like, I watched you for an hour talk about the rankings. We talked about the Big Ten and this decision, how it's largely influenced by the 4-spot Ohio State. What else did you love from the rankings yesterday?
Well, I thought it was interesting, Janae, what we've seen in the rankings, because the top six teams stayed exactly the same. Florida feels they control their own destiny. They're probably going to face Alabama in the SEC title game coming out of the East there. But Cincinnati folks have to be out here feeling some type of way as we talk about all the things, the potential chaos around that 4th spot, depending on if Notre Dame gets blown out in the ACC title game, if Alabama waxes Florida in the SEC title game. Cincy sat for a week and dropped below 1 spot as Iowa State, 2-loss Iowa State, where they lost at the beginning of the year to Louisiana, jumped over them to that 7 spot after a big win over West Virginia. The weird Big 12 rise that's gone on lately can't be sitting well right now in the Queen City.
That's true. I wish we just had the music to accompany that take. I missed it.
Were you looking for this music?
No, the rock star. You know when you're on the call and you give us like the best 2 minutes preview of whatever game you're calling?
Oh, yes. Well, listen. One day in the future, we'll be ready for nice things around
there.
There we go. You know what? We'll do rock star music for this. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting your small business is a big deal. Cover what you've worked so hard for. Visit progressivecommercial.com.
Yeah.
One way or another, we're going to make use of this rock music right now. And one way or another is kind of been the mantra for this year in a lot of ways. We mentioned it relative to college football. We've certainly seen it on display in the NFL. Coming up next, one college basketball coach is saying, for who? For what? We'll tell you who that was next. It's Janae Angolik Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Janae Angolik Jr., the podcast.
We have covered college football for now. I'm sure they'll reinsert themselves into the conversation very soon. But let's talk some college hoops. Janae Angolik Jr. on ESPN Radio. I'm streaming live on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogwumike and Mike Angolik Jr. I know you're body rolling listening to Toxic right now. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell, Pennzoil, Performance Lines. Now, this week, I mean, we've had, over the last 7 or 8 days, we've had a Steelers loss, Browns win, Ravens win. What does this mean for the AFC and of all the non-division leaders in the AFC? Who is the best? We will give you that answer in a few minutes. But before we get to like college hoops, I just have to give like a score. I think I've really won the dump button battle since August 17th when we've started as a family. I think I'm up to like 2 or 3. I'm surprised, Junior, you've had like none, which is crazy.
Listen, I show a lot of restraint on here. What I make up for, what I do in body rolls and accidental nip slips when we get too loose here on Friday, I make up for in restraint and using. I always call it my grandparents' voice, Chene, because you know how like when you go over to your grandparents' house, your older relative's house, and you can't really cuss there freely. And so I got to strap into that voice where I like replace all the curse words with nice normal words.
See, that's why I don't even say those words at all. And I did say shindig, okay? That's appropriate. So I feel like that's fine. I just said it better. I didn't stutter, okay? Hopefully they're hearing all these words coming out of my mouth. But let's get back to college hoops because college is on deck right now. The season has started. And it feels like as many games that have gone on, those same games have been postponed or just rescheduled. And Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski of Duke, is one of the most respected voices in the world of sports, period, not just college basketball. And as any great coach should, they have the propensity to set us straight and give us perspective. And this sound from Coach K is so good that I feel like we should wrap this in what we call one and done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
So here was Mike Krzyzewski. Fresh off a tough outing. I believe they lost to Illinois last night in a brutal game. Mike Krzyzewski, an oppressor, talking about just the general state of what's going on, playing basketball within a global pandemic the way they are attempting to now. Here was Coach K.
I don't think it feels right to anybody. I mean, everyone is concerned. So we made an assessment, that, and there was a consensus. It wasn't like well-planned that we're going to start November 25th. And that was made without knowing if there was going to be where the vaccine was, how many cases, you know, and basically it was more of a mentality of get as many games in as possible. I would just like for the safety, the mental health and the physical health of our players and staff for their, like, to assess where we're at, you know, in our country today. There's, you have 2,000 deaths a day. You know, you have 200,000 cases, 1.5 million last week. You have people saying that the next 6 weeks are going to be the worst. To me, it's already pretty bad.
Chene, I look at this situation, and even if you're to believe the most altruistic version of what Mike Krzyzewski is saying here, and that the sole focus is the players, is the athletes in this situation, what he said right there is admirable and true for a lot of people, and we've seen in the world of sports in 2020 had meant a darn bit of nothing so far. The wheel has stopped turning for absolutely no one, despite what anyone has protested so far, and I struggle to see a sport as cash-strapped as college hoops right now doing that even in light of this.
Yeah, and the frenetic nature of college hoops. You know, you usually, and when I was at Stanford, I believe we played Fridays and Sundays, and sometimes would take a non-conference game in the middle of the week. You're playing 2 to 3 times a week versus in college football, that's once a week. And in the NFL, once a week. And so, you know, college hoops has, while they may not have as many players, they have a lot of different types of challenges that they're dealing with. Again, maybe rosters are full of 15 players. And if you do have a COVID outbreak, I remember seeing the note I was following. I think it was one of my little sister's former schools before they transferred. They didn't have a game because they didn't have enough scholarship players to play. Again, like the limit, they needed 5 players and they didn't have enough. You know, this was a situation that they were up against. So college hoops has its own different set of challenges. And I do think that that's the sobering thought. Like, as much as we are so grateful to the essential workers and the real heroes out there that are helping us save lives during this pandemic, athletes are going through the process of, man, it is scary. And coaches are thinking, you know, Coach K is to some degree a father figure to these guys, that he acts like, these are my children and I want to protect them, especially in this last few months where, you know, we're dealing with so many issues, including the pandemic. So, like, these are natural thoughts, natural feelings, natural emotions that he's just articulating. And I think because it's coming from him, people might actually hear this differently.
Janae, it'd be nice if people listen, but
hear it.
all along the way, We have heard situations where this has been articulated and the wheel keeps on turning because, remember, college basketball shut down. We missed March Madness last year. They're all strapped for cash. College football season hasn't had fans. College basketball season doesn't right now. And it would be wonderful to consider a lot of these things in the way that we approach sports. But we're going to have the same crowd of people yelling that these people are young and they're not affected by these in the way that certain other sections of the population are. And we're going to have most of the rest of the world that kind of churns through these grief cycles around coronavirus in a more rapid pace relative to sports. We saw this happen last night in the Dallas Cowboys game against the Ravens, where you have Dez Bryant pulled off the field 30 minutes before the game because all of a sudden two inconclusive tests became a positive test for that player. And they still went ahead and played the game because they trusted the protocols that they've put in place to that spot. And they've gone through this enough. The world of sport has weathered this enough for everyone involved to sort of just shrug their shoulders and say, yeah, we're going to keep it moving.
I will tell you this as a member of the WNBPA, a close member of the family of the NBA and the athletes that I've met tangentially in this last few months. The hardest thing was not showing up to the bubble or going and preparing themselves, stay ready so you don't have to get ready, not knowing when the season comes, or, you know, having teammates that opt out and they're still going in and playing. The hardest thing, actually, like, not the game, was the mental aspect. And that's what Coach K sort of highlighted. The mental aspect of, in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of a few months where we've had social unrest, in the middle of a time where our lives have been put on pause and we're told not to see one another, you're going into an environment where you are told it's better for you if you actually keep refraining and keep making these sacrifices so that we have a better chance of staying healthy so that we can win. So while you're trying to do something you've worked your whole life in trying to achieve, you know, being an athlete, at the same time, a lot of the things that help you maintain balance while being an athlete are sort of deprived from you because you are fortunate to have a scholarship and you should just go out there and not say anything and be grateful for that. There are real challenges that these athletes have. They have said the hardest thing is the mental aspect, and I'm glad Coach K spoke on it. And we heard Paul George speak on it in the course of the NBA bubble, and a lot of people have started, you know, understanding that this is a real thing.
Let's hope it's not just words. That's always my hope with all this stuff is it's fine to say, but in a world of college athletics where we know the power is overwhelmingly in favor of the establishment, which these coaches belong to, let's hope it's not just words, because until the players can help enact action with a system that gives them a more equitable seat at all this, unfortunately, far too often, they are just words. So we'll see how that plays out there as the world of sports and a new round of it in college basketball starts to get a lot of these realities that others have faced so far. Realities like we saw last night where the Ravens came back to a game where they had had one of the bigger outbreaks in pro sports on their team, including their star quarterback, found a way to get a win. And so now, after all of that, we ask the question, coming up next, outside of the division leaders in the AFC, who is most poised to make a playoff run? That is sports, and that is next here on Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
All right, y'all. I was left hanging on the jump, and I did not like it. So as we keep that same energy in about 10 minutes, I will tell you exactly what happened that had me mad, big mad, left hanging. It's okay. Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Chanae Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. here with you. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Penzo Performance Lines. All right, now, I've been waiting to wear this shirt, but I feel like I couldn't do it yet because this was a must-win game. It has to be one of those equalizer games when it comes to the Ravens. We've been waiting for their big performance, and they did just that. First, the Cowboys. Now, the Ravens, they piled up, what, 294 rushing yards, fourth most in franchise history, and more than they've had in any game, even last season when they set the NFL's rushing record, I believe. Now, grain of salt here, because this was a get-right game. I think I said this yesterday for the Ravens, because the Cowboys are currently dead last in rushing yards allowed. So this all sort of provides, like, finally you get the must-win game, and now we're talking about the AFC, the Steelers lose, and now we have this question here. Of all the non-division leaders in the AFC right now, who is best, Mike Golic Jr.?
I mean, if you're looking at the group that we present in this situation, so you're looking at like the Colts, Dolphins, Browns, Ravens, and the Las Vegas Raiders. I think the easy answer based on some semblance of stability, veteran presence, and a defense that I think has taken huge strides forward this year would be the Indianapolis Colts. They're everything they were brought over to be. They've been a tough out even in the games that they've lost, and that's a defense that is so respected in this league as consistent right now. The more interesting one, I think, to me, and this is, we had Aaron Schatz on earlier from Football Outsiders, this is a great job trying to provide context. The more interesting one is, what are the Dolphins as an out going forward? Right now, staring up at the Bills in that division in the AFC East, but the Miami Dolphins have had some quality wins over the course of this year. They've had some losses that have all pretty much been close, outside of losing to the Patriots by double digits. All their losses to the Bills, to the Seahawks, and the Broncos have all been by one score. And we know since they made the switch to Tua Tagovailoa at quarterback, they haven't necessarily gone up a ton on offense, but defense and special teams have really tightened the screw down that stretch, Janae. So I think the answer is the Colts, but the one that's probably got the most boom or bust potential because of their quarterback is Tua Tagovailoa and the Dolphins.
Yeah, that special teams team and that squad is really fun to watch on a day-to-day basis, or at least weekly basis. But I do agree with you. Defense tends to carry you over, especially when you are not the top of the top. And I love how you always go with the Warriors analogy with the gunslingers and being able to put points on the board. Defenses really carry you through, and also finding points in different ways. But, you know, it's funny watching the game, and I always want to, like, I feel like sometimes the pressure, especially after, and we've talked about this earlier, the league adjusting to you when it comes to someone like Lamar Jackson, and you're wondering, obviously they're dealing with, you know, certain spots with injuries, and he's trying to mature his game, and the league has adjusted to him as well. We've seen him with his strengths, right? Is there anything that you saw yesterday, Junior, that you thought this is more of a blueprint for them to actually be able to compete for the future? Or do you think that this is still something, a long-term solution for him to at least show a little bit more with the passing?
Let's put it this way. I think for this team, we saw so much of what they're capable of last year. The evolution has to continue to be Lamar's relationship with that receiving core. Hollywood Brown's a guy that they drafted, but we've heard hasn't always been the happiest there because he doesn't think he's getting the ball enough like most receivers. But that team's just lost too much. No Willie Snead or Mark Andrews last night, who are their top two of their top three pass catchers on that team, between what happened to them COVID-wise, which, again, we're not going to ascribe anything to that. All is to say, you've got to at least have it in your head that we don't know how the effects of COVID that we've heard affect everyone differently, but some people have lingering physical effects, could hamstring this team down the stretch of the season. I think they've just lost too much, Chiné, to be considered the best of this bunch right here. Cleveland becomes compelling because they're getting healthy at the right time of year. The lines of scrimmages really showed up in their win against Tennessee this past weekend. And so I just think Baltimore, while extremely talented, and Lamar Jackson, a reigning MVP, is just a team that in this year has lost too much. And you know this, injury as much as anything ends up dictating who ultimately stands with the prize at the end of everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a really interesting way to put it into context when you know, the last team you talked about when you were talking about the Browns. Because after Odell Beckham goes out, I feel like they sort of exited the dialogue with, hey, I actually am a team that's a contender. And then finally with this matchup with the Titans, all right, we've got 2-8-3s coming together. And then for them to handle their business in such a strong and real way, I feel like they've asserted themselves back into that dialogue. But do you see anything with the Browns? Because clearly, you know me, I'm biased with it when it comes to Nick Chubb. Ever since he's been able to be back, he's really turned things around with them relying on that ground game, also with Kareem Hunt. But do you see the Browns as a team that, who was it that said it earlier? I can't remember. Was it Rex or something like that? Like, this is a team that can go all the way. They have all the tools, especially when they're playing this way. Now, again, I said earlier, like, it was more to me about the Titans than it was the Browns. But if we're picking teams in the AFC, I feel like the Browns actually are the ones by record, and also by recency bias, they actually are trending upward.
I think the Browns are a team that I've said has a floor that's gotten higher with that win against Tennessee, and just the way we've started to see them put football together, protect the quarterback, and the way that they spent money and assets on and deserve the credit for, and made one of the best coaching hires this offseason in Bill Callahan, famed NFL offensive line coach, to lead that group. I think they've got a very high floor now because of that. The problem is, I think their ceiling is just below Super Bowl level, because what have we seen? This came up. We're going to get in Thursday Night Football a Super Bowl rematch from a couple years ago, the Rams and the Patriots, but these teams hardly resemble the teams that were on the field for that game in so many ways. When you take a team like the Rams that had a quarterback that was one that operated well in a system, lots of play action, lots of movement downfield, quality receivers like Jarvis Landry in Cleveland, and a defense with a dynamic player, Myles Garrett, Aaron Donald, when you can get defensively time to game plan and make that quarterback one-dimensional and force him into situations where it's on his back. So far, we have rarely seen instances where Baker Mayfield is going to go out there and be that dude. And so that's the thing I always worry about them running into down the stretch. And that's the thing that I think optionality down the stretch in the playoffs that's provided by quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes, like we talked about Aaron Schatz before, Drew Brees, a veteran presence with an offense that can do a lot that is dynamic. I think that gets teams in trouble when you're so reliant on one area and way it feels like the Browns are with play action and those things to protect Baker.
And last but not least, I'm really curious on this end. When it comes to the Raiders, it's funny because if we're talking about teams' highs and lows, they've had the highs. They're the one team to beat the Chiefs, but at the same time, they've had their lows. But hey, the last time we saw them, we had, what did I say? What was my thingy? It was Derek Carr pulls the rug out of the Jets' winning hopes. What do you make of the Raiders down the stretch?
The Raiders are fascinating because you're right. They're good wins against the Saints, at Kansas City, at Cleveland, against the Chargers. Like, you look up at that, but it's just such wild oscillation. You have a double-digit loss to the Bucks that people could understand, to the Patriots, but the Falcons, man, like Jason Fitz, God love him, our neighbor to the north and parted Spain and Fitz that you hear 7-9 every day. I remember texting him during that game, and he's like, these are the games that will drive you to drink as a Raiders fan, because inexplicably every once in a while, this team just flat out does not show up. It's the reasons why I keep questioning if Derek Carr is going to end up being someone that John Gruden, not that they should stick with longer, but that John Gruden's going to say, I need to keep around longer than I have to in this organization going forward. And so that's why I got trust issues with them. Like, as we get closer towards this and start to grade the curve for these teams, how much consistency starts to matter, I think, is hugely important. And that Raiders team was also one freak play away from losing to the damn Jets. Like, I can't trust that level of team.
You know what's kind of funny? You don't have a team. Like, you just have Notre Dame, and you still have trust issues with Notre Dame, even though this year you're trying to mask them as well as you can. I've spotted you. I get you now.
Janae, I tell you what, when everyone either doesn't hire you or fires you as you try and make your foray into professional football, it makes it easy to root for no one and only hope the world burns. I am that petty and spiteful. I can assure you of all of that, guys. Don't you worry. Coming up tomorrow, we will take a look at some of the non-division-leading NFC teams. And let me tell you, what a strange year. The NFC, how the mighty have fallen in this conference. Once you get past the top, boy, the drop-off starts to look like something serious, unless we believe in some of this NFC East late-season turnaround. But coming up next, the NBA relaxing some rules on attire, and one pro football player does the obvious thing when it comes to advertising that I feel like we just need to see more of in sports.
Love
we'll get
it.
To all that and keep that same energy next on Janae and Golic Jr.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We've got the best Glee SPN take ever in the history of Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Chinay Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr., best ever. And I hope he has the courage to play that, because he's the only one that can actually play it. But first, we got to show love to everyone. Peter Burns of the SEC Network, and also on ESPN Radio, best week ever, who came and joined and held it down at the start of the show. And he really broke down the news that the Big Ten really changed their policy that teams must play 6 games to be eligible now, which is clearly in favor of Ohio State in the championship game, the conference championship game. He talked with Junior about that. We also had Aaron Schatz of Football Outsiders, who gave us his top 3 club bangers, which I love. But he also did give us a take on Kansas City, the Chiefs, that everyone needs to hear. Are they truly the best team in the NFL? He might have an interesting answer. And last but not least, Adam Schefter, our ESPN NFL insider. Make sure you check out the Adam Schefter podcast, who honestly, like, I'm not even lying, he gave us a take on everything lately in the NFL, and including whether, I guess, the block is hot when it comes to coaches in Dallas and also in Philly. And I spoke of Adam Schefter's podcast. You can also check out our podcast, Chinay and Golic Jr., and you can subscribe, rate, and review. But most importantly, I am so excited because, Cliff, I'm hoping that as we keep the same energy, you hold that to a T.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
Okay, Junior, before we start with our list that you naturally inspire us with every day, I want to say that this happened to me on The Jump. So I was on The Jump, and then we're going through things live, and Rachel Nichols, whom I love and is a fantastic person and mentor for me even at this network, she brings on Trae Young for an interview. And as you know, if there's one brand that I rock as an athlete, what is it?
The Three Stripe Life.
Thank you, Three Stripe Life. And Trae Young is part of Three Stripes Life. So I'm watching this interview. I'm like, hey, Trae, what's going on? Yeah, yeah. And the final question is, what news brings you here today? And he's like, I've got a signature shoe. And that's exactly what made me mad, because I'm sitting here on national television telling people that I'm Three Stripe Life, to death do us part. And next thing you know, the big announcement I had no clue about. And so everyone's like, Chanae, like, what's the deal? I thought you were plugged in. And so I went and named everybody. I was like, Chris McGuire, Madison Ornstall, Adam Laitis, Brandon Walker, Austin Hodges, all y'all can get this smoke because y'all left me hanging. I had no clue. It was cute, and I'm very happy for Trae at 22 getting a signature shoe. But I was like, yo, y'all left me hanging. I'm supposed to be the one saying, like, oh, yeah, I knew, but I didn't.
So I've known for weeks, guys, but I'm glad they let you all in on the secret. That's cold-blooded, Sinead. What do they say? Sometimes it'd be your own people that come and get you like this. So
you're right. That's true.
It is a darn shame. But congratulations to Trae Young. That's awesome. A chance to get a signature sneaker going out there, obviously glowing up in that Atlanta sports scene. So big time and cool for him. Let's stick in the NBA, though, Sinead, because we're going to talk about decor, outfits in the NBA. How about this? Adrian Wojnarowski and Zach Lowe put this out. The NBA relaxes its coaching attire rules. Suit jackets optional, masks not this year. They're going to allow for jacketless and polo shirt looks this season, kind of like what you see in summer league, Chanae. I think we keep dressing it down, Chanae. Like, why stop there? Let's put them in shorts.
The hope. Oh, okay, stop. Did you say jorts or shorts? Because I can accept shorts,
listen,
not jorts.
I have been petitioning for years for a summer special called Jort Center around here
at
ESPN.
Why are we showing Coach Popovich when we're talking about jorts? I'm talking about you, Alan Sutherland.
Pop would definitely start and go down the jorts trend on here. That man is fearless when it comes to that. By the way, ESPN Jort Center, a day where everyone hosting SportsCenter and all our shows wears jorts. Lock it
oh,
up.
Dear. Oh, dear. Look, I like athletes being suited and booted. I think it's a fun moment for them to, you know, cross culture and use that pop culture intersection of sports and society and all that type of stuff, rock designers. But this year, when there's no fans in the stands and probably not many people snapping pictures, the coaches should be able to wear what they want. So I'm here for this.
I would like to see it. I also hope we start making suits out of athleisure material. I want to be able to basically move around in the Lululemon equivalent of a suit. So,
oh my gosh, can I also give you a compliment? Because I do like this bomber hoodie type of look from you. Like, I do think this is your lane. This is your vibe.
For anyone listening on radio, I have busted out the best possible outfit that I can today, and there's no going back from that. Because, Chanae, I'm an offensive lineman, a former offensive lineman, and we have limited abilities in this area. But maximum marketability still at this position. How about this from earlier today, Chanae? Daniel Popper, who covers the Chargers for The Athletic, tweeted this out. A thing I learned today. Chargers offensive lineman Forrest Lamp has an endorsement deal with Lamp Plus, a lamp company. And this is his first signature lamp called the Forrest Sequoia, a Forrest lamp from Forrest Lamp. Unbelievable. This came fully loaded with professionally shot pictures of this guy doing offensive line stances with these lamps, sitting very comfortably in the clothing that can fit a larger man and fit him comfortably. Chanae, I'm excited because he did the obvious thing. If people have last names that line up with something easy to market, go ahead and do this. It's that easy.
Thank you. I saw the pictures and I stand for my man, Mr. Lamp. Like, it's actually really funny because we try too hard sometimes, and this is the easy layup, and I think they nailed it in this one. I mean, those pictures are great because it looks like if he bends one way or the other, he will snap that lamp. I mean, we've got an offensive lineman right there. But yeah, I saw the pictures because you retweeted, and I was like, oh, this is exactly what I need in my timeline.
He is a big, strong man selling you lamps. And I'm sure a very affordable price, because that's what offensive linemen do. Chanae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Chanae, I want to finish off with this one. Now, I saw this earlier today. I was always wondering, we talk about playing a game around here called Why Is This Trending? And I was curious. And so I saw writer Matt Haig tweeted this out before because Mr. Brightside was trending. Theory: everyone likes Mr. Brightside, especially those who overtly say they don't like Mr. Brightside. They're exhibiting Freudian suppression and are seeking domination of their own tastes and desires. They are swimming through sick lullabies and choking on their alibis. Chanae, who doesn't like Mr. Brightside? I feel like that has got to be one of the songs that's universally untouchable, right?
Wait, who wrote that?
That is Matt Haig, who is a writer, a New York Times bestseller.
I thought that was you, because we have a propensity on this show to make everything gossipy. And so I was like, okay, I'm here for this. Mr. Brightside, great. I like it. I feel like there's no one here that says that's an okay song.
I would agree. Like, that, there are a few untouchables in there. Like, I thought about that song, In the Club by 50 Cent, Shout, yes, that you hear at weddings, and pretty much anything by Ashanti, right? Like, we got a big versus battle coming up. You'd probably agree, maybe?
I don't know if Shout is, like, automatic for me.
But Ashanti, yes, right?
100%.
Well, Cliff, made some pretty bold claims during the break that he can sing. Cliff, are you going to play this clip willingly?
Gillespian.
Easy come without you, but I'm hurting while I'm with you. And now my heart can take no more. I keep on running back to you.
Cliff, you feel like you can sing off that, huh?
So, man, I definitely got – I got the pipes, man. I got the voices. I got the vocals. I got you.
It's pretty interesting.
Wait, where's the
here.
Sound?
Well,
where's
I thought we'd strip it down here for you guys.
Hell no.
Without you, oh. I'm hurting while I'm with you. And now my heart can take no more. I keep on running back to you.
Thanks for listening to Chiney and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.